into our lives, into our homes. We just pray, Father God, that the Lord Jesus would also enter into shattered lives, especially, O Lord, for pastors, families, churches in Florida wrestling with what happened a few days ago. We pray, O Lord, that the Lord Jesus would come into his church on earth, including our church here, and make us vibrant for him. So come, Lord Jesus, right now, and make us aware of your ready presence among us. In your name we pray, amen. You know that we have a theme this year, and we thank God for giving us a theme of four words: loving God, touching lives. Thank you. Looks like there's only one person here who remembers. No. Okay. Loving God, touching lives. And we pray that we may learn something about this theme. It can be very general, but we pray that we may learn something about this theme, you know, in our spiritual walk with God, in the areas of faith, hope, love, and joy. And for our first 3 months, you know, we're going to dance around the sub-theme of faith. Last week, we had the opportunity to not only hear Brother Wang sharing with us, and we've seen that despite all the challenges he had to go through, not just for himself, not just for the Institute, but also the whole tribal community, they have a lot to be thankful for, because through and through, they have experienced God to be the same faithful God. We have also seen that in the passage that we looked at last week, how God faithfully provided for his servant Elijah with water, with food, with meat every day, in the morning, in the evening, when the whole land of Israel was going through a national drought. Today we want to look at the same theme again, but we pray that as we look at God's teaching in his word today, that our lives and our hearts would also be touched. For we know that God continues to provide. He's still the same faithful God. Jesus was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we pray that today we would experience something of his present-day reality. Maybe you have heard or read of harrowing stories of people who had to survive in desert-like conditions with either very little water supply or no water at all. It is a deadly place to be, potentially speaking. I want to share with you a little bit about the background of today's passage in Exodus chapter 15. If you are familiar with the story, you know that the people of Israel, the entire nation, some Bible teachers tell us that, you know, it numbers in at least 600,000 people. The people of Israel had just come through what was a life-changing moment. The events of the sanctuary. For God has miraculously opened up the Red Sea right in front of their eyes with his abundance of waters to enable them, his people, to cross over from one part to the other part unscathed. It was indeed a once-in-a-lifetime experience for the entire population. It definitely is not the same experience as going through a modern-day aquarium in a theme park, you know, surrounded by swimming creatures on top and around you. It is here, after crossing the Red Sea, that God continues to prove his faithfulness to his people. And here we learn that God not only provides, but he also promises to refresh us, to re-energize us again. Let us see what happens on their journey to the water of refreshing. First, we noted that, you know, this is a very simple passage. I like simple passages in scriptures, for it has a lot to teach me about God's truth. The first thing that we want to notice is that, you know, immediately after the Red Sea crossing, you know, God landed them, or the people landed themselves, in a place with no water, in a place that was completely dry. It is strange to read that soon after the amazing miracle, the people of Israel went into the desert of Shur. This was a dry, bleak area, basically an empty, discarded, and parched territory. They have moved from being surrounded by an abundance of water, unlimited amount of water, the Red Sea, to a place where not a drop of water was to be found. In fact, they traveled throughout this desert for 3 days, three long days without water. It is kind of difficult for us to imagine what it is like not to have drinking water. But perhaps if you live in certain parts of Puerto Rico today, you find that, you know, 3 months after Hurricane Maria has ravaged the country, although parts of the country are coming out of the disaster, but there's still parts of the country with very little power supply and also very little water available. If you live in those areas on the island of Puerto Rico, perhaps you will understand a little bit of what it is to go day from day without water or without enough drinking water. Sometimes, after a life-changing spiritual encounter with God, God may take us to a place of dryness and allow us to be led into a place that seems to be surrounded by dead ends all over. A place where nothing seems to be happening, or a place where things are happening very slowly, or where there doesn't seem to be any light at the end of the tunnel. But let us be reminded that after the spiritual highlights of being baptized in water and the Spirit of God in the form of a dove descending upon Jesus Christ, Jesus in Matthew, early chapters, was led immediately into the wilderness, and there awaiting him was 40 days of fasting, 40 days of prayer, 40 days of loneliness, 40 days of time alone with God. So therefore, if you find yourself in a dry place today, if you find yourself, you know, walking through deserts for 2 days, 3 days, or maybe a month already, something that we can remind ourselves: one, Jesus went through a similar experience also. Another thing that we can remind ourselves and take heart, we can ask ourselves to hold on to God's hand, God's promises, and keep trusting God. Because we know that what God wants to accomplish in a dry land, in a desert situation, may well be something wonderful that he chooses not to do when the days are good, when the going is easy. God is the same God, the God of power and the God of love. It doesn't matter what our situations, our surroundings is like. Nothing can inhibit or limit the love of God. So therefore, whether we are crossing through the Red Sea, fully aware of God's power at work, or whether we suddenly find that we are already in the land of the desert, in the land of Shur, a desert place, let us continue to trust God. A place of dryness, where there is no water, is not the end as far as God is concerned. For in this place, we can also learn something about God being a trustworthy God. He is faithful and he is dependable. And the second thing we notice that, you know, immediately after the Dead Sea, God led them not just to a place of dryness, but he gave them the will and the strength and the direction to keep walking. So later on, after 3 days, they found themselves at a place, this time with water. I can imagine that the people were very, very joyful. After 3 days of not having enough water or no water whatsoever, they finally saw waters. But unfortunately, to their disappointment, it is water that was bitter, unsuitable for drinking and for cooking. Perhaps in the desert, in that part of the world, there might have been a lot of places with water and maybe a lot of places with bitter water. But here they've arrived, and this place is called Mara. We are reminded in Ruth chapter 1, how Naomi changed her name from Naomi to something else, a name that signifies bitterness. Maybe she remembered something of the experience of what generations before her went through in the desert of Shur. If you read Ruth chapter 1, you find that Naomi had a husband. He died. She had two sons. They also died later. So she was, you know, left with two daughters-in-law. And she gave permission very graciously, especially in a culture of that day, for the two daughters-in-law, Ruth was one of them, to return to their own country so they could have a new life again and maybe remarried. But Ruth decided to stay with Naomi. So finally, Naomi and Ruth returned to Naomi's hometown, Judah. And when they finally arrived in Bethlehem, it says that, you know, the town people came out to greet them, and the whole town was astir. They were amazed, not just seeing Ruth, Naomi after all these years, they were also amazed at her experience. So they said, you know, can this be Naomi? Verse 20, this is her reply. Do not call me Naomi from this day forward. Naomi basically means pleasant. Instead, call me Mara, bitter. Because God Almighty has made my life very bitter with the death of her husband and her two sons. Perhaps you can identify with Naomi a little bit, or the people who are traveling through the desert of Shur. Maybe you're going through many challenges that have made life bitter for you as well. If so, do not react like the people of God who grumble. Verse 24. They complained to Moses, and apparently they also complained about God. Instead, like Moses, let us look to God for solutions. And you know, sometimes God may be using just very seemingly insignificant items, an ordinary person, maybe even a stranger, to encourage us, to bring us out of places filled with bitter water into places that are full of his blessings. So what did God do in this case when Moses, having nowhere else to turn except God, God instructed Moses, and God gave Moses a very simple solution, just a piece of wood. We're not even told what kind of wood it is, how big it is, but just a very ordinary piece of wood. God asked Moses to throw this piece of wood into the water. And later on, we find that, you know, the pool of water was drinkable again. When you are going through your own desert, when you do not think that the end is in sight, and sometimes when you have no idea how to encourage someone who is going, you know, through a very tough journey, what can we do? What are the pieces of wood that we can use? And here are some suggestions. Maybe one piece of wood that we can use is called love. Ask God for strength, especially when you're going through a tough time, especially when you find that, you know, people are irritating you or hurting you. But in a situation like that, in your own desert of Shur, ask God for strength to keep releasing love from within you into your own surroundings. You may have been disappointed and hurt by many bitter experiences, but nevertheless, ask God to enable you to radiate the sweetness and the fragrance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. You know that God often does amazing things like this when the going is really, really tough, when the place is really, really ugly, that God can enable you to magnify his love in you in your bitter moments. Perhaps the second piece of wood has to do with forgiveness, because forgiveness releases us from the burden and bondage of bitterness. Ooh, I forgot to give you the PowerPoint. Do I have it? Here, if you have time. No wonder. Thank you. I was looking at the picture. I said, I didn't do that. Anyway, But I'm so glad that you've been following, right? 100%. But perhaps the second piece of wood has to do with forgiveness. For forgiveness releases us from the burden and also the bondage of bitterness and unwilling spirits to forgive. That is exactly what Stephen, the first martyr, did when he was stoned to death by a crowd, by his peers. Acts chapter 7, he says that when the members of the political party, religious party, heard about Stephen's retort, Stephen's testimonies, you know, even though Stephen meant it for good, as a testimony of praise to God's faithfulness, however, they have their hearts set against Stephen and against God. You know, God's story of salvation for their ancestors, generation to generation, did not encourage the people at all. Instead, it incited the leadership to hate Stephen all the more. So they were furious about Stephen. But however, in verse 55 of Acts chapter 7, you know, it says that Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, he looked up to heaven and all of a sudden he saw the glory of God. And Jesus was standing at the right hand of God. So Stephen thought that, you know, if you didn't listen to my testimony before, but maybe now you can trust me and know that God is looking down from heaven in glory on us. So Stephen said, "Look, I see heaven open and the Son of Man, that is Jesus, standing at the right hand of God." However, not even this would persuade the people to listen to him. So in verse 57, at this, they covered their ears. They were yelling at top on top of their voices, and they all rushed at Stephen. What did they do? They dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And as they were stoning him, and this is what Stephen was doing when he was going through his own desert of Shur, Stephen prayed in verse 59, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and he cried out, "O Lord, do not hold this sin. Do not hold this death against them." And with that, he died. Do you know, according to Stephen's situation, when you see God, you learn to forgive. Why? Because you are made more aware of God's forgiveness of your sins. Sometimes the best cure, the best remedy to an unforgiving heart is to think about Jesus' suffering for you. Jesus' death for me on the cross. When I realize that how God looked at me, such a filthy, such a vile, such a repeatedly sinning individual, and yet God would accept me, and yet God would put his arms around me time and again, God would help me understand a little bit more about his depth of forgiveness. And when you have been touched by God's forgiveness, it makes it a lot easier for us to turn around. Know that God forgives the other people too. And know that God would give me the same power to forgive them as I have been forgiven in Jesus Christ. This was Stephen's example. "Oh Lord, do not hold this sin against them." But perhaps the third piece of wood that we can use is a spirit of praise and thanksgiving. Isaiah, this is one of my favorite, I have a lot of favorite verses, and this is absolutely one of my favorite verses. In Isaiah chapter 61, it talks about God telling those people who are grieving, who are going through a very difficult time, people who felt that they do not have hope at all. God says, you know, he is the God who is going to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of mourning, instead of ashes. And that instead of sorrow, God says, you know, he's going to anoint them. And this is the oil of joy. And instead of a spirit of heaviness, of despair, God says, you know, I'm going to clothe you again, anew. I'm going to give you a garment of praise. Why? So that when people look at what God has done for you in your life, in this particular incident, the way you responded to God, God says people would know that, do I have those words? You are a planting of the Lord. You are God's workmanship. You are a showcase for God's power. So that, you know, seeing this, people and the world may see something of God's splendor, God's majesty, and God's loving kindness in his people, and that the world may be drawn closer to God as a result of that. And perhaps I also want to, you know, suggest another piece of wood that we may use from time to time, prayer. Moses in chapter 25 knew that even though he had people like Caleb, Joshua, Aaron, and others helping him, but yet he knew that, you know, he never had enough wisdom, knowledge, leadership skills, life experience, influence to lead the people of Israel out of this situation. So what do? When you are hard-pressed on all sides, it can be a very good thing. For Moses, this was a great thing because it enabled Moses to remember God and to turn to God. So here in the early part of verse 25, Moses cried out to the Lord. He may have done so out of desperation, hopelessness. He may have done so after, you know, being hurt time and again by the people grumbling against him. But nevertheless, it became a very good thing for Moses. Moses cried out to God. He cried out to God, and it was a prayer for help. I'm so glad that, you know, just now the worship team also included a song entitled, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I wasn't thinking about, you know, saying something about this song, but it happened to be, you know, one of my slides. Maybe you do not know a person by the name Joseph Scriven, but we have just sung his song, 3 verses and even 4 verses, you know. What a friend we have in Jesus. It is a song with great power and comfort and hope. However, when he wrote it, the poem, you know, he was far from being joyful. He was far from being on cloud nine. He says that, you know, the bottom of my world seems to have all of a sudden disappeared. But out of that bitter experience came this word from the Holy Spirit. So people of God, if you're going through bitter waters right now, or if you know someone who is going through bitter waters, you can pray for yourself, for that individual, so that God may continue to work in their lives. God may throw them pieces of wood, for with those pieces of wood, God would lead them out of bitter waters and into sweet or refreshing waters. And that's what we're looking at right now. The place of sweet and refreshing abundant water, verses 26 and 27. In the midst of bitterness, God did a miracle again. He brought sweetness into the bitter water and subsequently led them to a place called Elim, a place of refreshing where there are 12 springs and 70 palm trees. And at the same time, God told them that there are conditions attached. What condition? 26, 27. Isn't it amazing that you and I believe and follow a God who says that, you know, I know that this is the, you know, 10th millionth time you have sinned against me, but I want you to know, child, I still forgive you because you have come to the right place. So here we see God again treating the Israelites with the same tenderness, gentleness, and forgiveness. So 26, God gave them yet another opportunity. God says that, you know, I'm going to help you. I'm going to lead you out of this situation. However, I need you to listen carefully to my word. Do what is right in God's eye. Pay attention, Moses says, to God's commandment and keep all his instructions, all his decrees. And what would God do? God says, you know, when we do that, he's not going to bring on us any of the diseases he brought on the Egyptians. And he says this, for I'm the Lord who heals you. It is amazing that God would mention about healings, deliverance from diseases in the middle of a desert. So every time when you feel like you have a desert experience, a dry, maybe a bitter moment, you can turn to God. You can say, God, I remember that you promised the Egyptians, and you remind them that you are a God who heals, and God heals in all kinds of ways. Oh Lord, whatever area in my heart that requires healing, I pray that you would honor your promise and help me to experience release and wholeness in the name of Christ. And so as a result, the people knew that God has forgiven them once again. The people knew that, you know, God has listened to their prayer, and God was again proving his faithfulness. And when God proved his faithfulness and provided drinkable, sweet, and refreshing water to them, God also lifted up their spirit. Let's turn to, no wonder I smell candles burning, yeah. Let's turn to the cross of the Lord Jesus. God did a wonderful miracle in the desert. He healed the bitter water of Marah with a piece of wood. But do you know that the disappointment, the challenges, the hard to erase bad memories in life, God says they are erasable too. But there's only one place. It is the cross of the Lord Jesus. And this is why Jesus came into the world, not to be a good person. Jesus came into the world because he knows how much we need to be forgiven. He knows how much we long to be right with God, and out of that, right with one another. He knows that loving God is not an easy thing. He also knows that to have our lives touched by God and to be a blessing to other people is also a difficult goal. But Jesus says, I've come to forgive you. I've come to look for sinners. I've come to make you whole. I've come to change whatever bitter water you may have, even if it just be one tiny little drop, into sweet, refreshing, energizing water. And that's what Jesus has promised to his people. And one thing too, he says that, you know, once you have experienced it, don't keep this water to yourself. When Moses threw that piece of wood into, you know, the pool of bitter water, Moses didn't say that this water was done by God's power, was made possible by God's power, but I was the person responsible for it. So I would have sole rights to this water. Moses did not hog the sweet waters. Instead, he knew that this was God's blessing for the entire people. So when we have experienced the love of God, one thing, ask God to keep changing you and ask God to keep changing other people through you. That's how a church grows. Not so much because of programs, pastors, not so much because of dedicated leaders. All these are important, but the most important thing for church to draw people, that principle has never changed, and that is the Lord Jesus. And Jesus says, you know, if I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. So we pray that, you know, people come to this place. People go to the Bible study group at your invitation. That when you meditate on the Word of God and you find that, you know, something clicks inside because you know that the Holy Spirit is talking to you, it is because Jesus himself is drawing you closer to him. So with that, let's continue to encourage one another that God is a faithful God, you know. Especially, let us learn to trust God's timing. When are we going to get an English pastor? I do not know. But I thank God that God's given me enough obedience and enough faith, and also the same to many people in the church here, that we would keep trusting God You know, once we get someone of God's choice, you know that looking back, oh, 3 years, 5 years, you know, everything fell in its places. And we know that God did everything from beginning to the end with excellence. So let's be faithful to God. Let's not doubt him. We can have questions, but let's not doubt him. For God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. So in closing, as we bow our heads in reverence before God, I want to, and I like what Pastor Don does from time to time, I want to use this opportunity to invite us. If you feel that you have a desolate experience or something you're grappling with, you just somehow want God to refresh you. It may not be absolutely bitter waters, but nevertheless, you want God to refresh you. You want God to lead you from a place of dryness, maybe through bitter water, and into a place of refreshing rest, a place of sweetness. Or you know of someone who might need prayers like that. As we close our eyes and bow, in reverence before God, put your hands up. I'm not even going to, you know, open my eyes. This is strictly between you and God. Put your hands up and then down. I count to three. And then after that, we start praying. One, two, three. Gracious Lord, we thank you. For we know that from the day you redeem us, you have continued to assure us that you are the same God who is faithful, who delights in leading your people out of dry land, through bitter water, into places of Elim, places that are filled with sweetness, presence, and power. Pray for the hands that went up. Pray for the hearts that hunger after you. Pray for ourselves and people that we know, whether they be part of the body of Christ, neighbors, or strangers. Father God, we thank you that the Lord Jesus is the light of the world. And he has in turn told us that we are light of the world. So help us to keep shining for you. Enter into every incident, every heart, and every single human life where your healing is very much needed, where your presence and your power are being prayed for, and where, Father God, we long to see the Lord Jesus. We long to see the cross making a difference in our lives. We pray for all these hands. We pray for our requests. We pray, Father God, for people that we pray for from time to time. The caregivers, people, O Lord, who are wrestling with medical conditions. We pray, Father God, for hearts that are in bondage. We pray, Father God, for those who haven't felt the joy of your salvation in a long time already. We pray, Father God, for uneven steps. We pray, Father God, for tomorrows that seems to be filled with anxiety and burden. We thank you, O Lord, that all these things are good things, blessing in disguise. For Lord, the way they turned Moses to cry out to you, we pray we would do the same thing. Thank you that you are the God who heals, for you are Jehovah Rapha. So help us to remember that. Make your people strong by healing them. Make your church vibrant, O Lord, so that your people are planting of your workmanship may showcase your splendor and power of Christ in a world that lives in darkness. So we ask all this, O Lord, we give you thanks. So lift up those hearts. Energize our passion for you. This we ask in the wonderful and powerful name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for answering our prayers. Amen.